Wake up, motherfucker. Episode 112. Hope you got your wits about you. Hope you're doing something productive. Maybe you got this on in the background. Maybe you're fucking cleaning your house. Maybe you're running on a fucking treadmill. Maybe you're walking home from work, huh? What are you doing, huh? Give us a call. 1-800-fucking-whatever. I'm on my way. I got a long motherfucking drive. I am going to the Ice House, Pasadena, open mic. I know you say, Luke, I thought you said you're never doing that mic again. You said it's way too far away. It takes too long to get to and puts too many miles on your car. Yep. Yeah, it's about 30-something miles. I'm leaving pretty late. It's 5:30. And I got to be there for, technically for 7 p.m. sign up. You got till about 7:30. And this is going to be kind of close. And I hope I don't have to get, I'm not on the freeway yet here, but every time I go to this fucking place, I get struck right around when I get downtown. It's some of the worst traffic in the entire greater Los Angeles region, is where the 10 meets the 110 downtown. It is brutal. And then I got to go all the way through there down into fucking Pasadena. But I always have to piss, like, really fucking bad. When I get downtown, look at this fucking weirdo. Holy shit. The guy at the corner of Washington and Sepulveda here. I have to piss unspeakably. Like piss my pants piss. Like, it doesn't get any worse. So I'm doing everything I can. I've had a lot of coffee today, and I'm doing everything I can to not have to fucking... You couldn't let this guy make a laugh, you fucking asshole. Ugh, what a fucking cunt. This... Whatever, who cares? This guy was a total... Of course, it was a fucking old dumb woman with a fucking man's haircut. Why don't you let your hair grow out so your husband can still fuck you? I know you've been married for 40 years. You think he wants something to grab? He wants a handful of something when he's behind you doggy style. Pull your fucking head back. You think he wants to grab your fucking... what's your fucking name? Oh, god damn it, I was going good and I fucked it up. Well, I hope this doesn't happen on stage. What the fuck's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis hair. Shit balls! Ah, bad. I fucking slipped on that reference right down the fucking stairs on it. So anyways, it'll be a long drive. Getting on the freeway right now. I went to watch that Ken Burns. I keep hearing about this Vietnam documentary now. I've become quite a Ken Burns fan. I like his stuff. I like his documentaries. And I'm looking all over the place, and I don't get it, because everyone said it's on PBS for free to watch. Free watch movie, Vietnam, Gook, VC. If you remember Deer Hunter, I blew my brains out playing Russian roulette. Sorry, my Christopher Walken stinks. It's free, allegedly. So I don't know how it's not on, like, your Hulus or your Netflixes. Or your Amazons. I can't... whatever the fucking firebox, whatever the fuck, with the fucking channels. I can't find it on any of those. So, until it comes up... I mean, I can just watch it on my computer. I don't know. I haven't even checked PBS.com to see if it really is there for free. Someone said it was. I'm going by total fucking hearsay here, okay? That might be complete bullshit. I might just be swallowing hook, line, and sinker. Like, they say one born every minute. Well, you got the Lukester. I done been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. There is no Vietnam War documentary. But what they did have was something called The West, the American West. I fucking love the West. I love a history about the American West. I like cowboys and Indians and civil wars and gold rushes and settling and fighting with the Mexicans, all that good shit. But unfortunately, this land was occupied by the Native Americans, by the indigenous peoples, who were known as Indians until about 1998 or 9. And then it just, every year it's something else. Now we get the original people with the little TM trademark. I mean, who could keep up with these fucking pronouns of these people? They make a new one every 6 hours for every group out there. It's offensive today. It ain't tomorrow. I don't know what to make of it, folks. To you, I can't keep up with this progress. Anyways, they were already here. And one of my favorite liberal smarty maxims is guys, Columbus is a piece of shit, and you know what they say? Columbus discovered America. Let me ask you something, Buster. How do you discover something that's over there? How do you discover anything? You're a fucking asshole. Okay, that's not what discover means, you fucking idiots that just repeat every goddamn thing you hear. That's not, it was dis covered. It was covered, and now it's not. Yes, it was here. No one else knew it existed outside the fucking Indians running around here with fucking, maple leaves over their big Indian cock, just kind of like a feather over their asshole. They were basically, running around buck naked savages, playing songs, singing to the wind gods and shit like this, throwing air cones in the air, eating squash and, putting on snowshoes and putting a feather, in their hair. They didn't have 7-Eleven. They didn't have a Verizon store to go to. They didn't have nothing. If they needed something, they just stabbed each other to death and took it. That's not what discover means. He discovered it for the rest of the world. I fucking hate that. I don't know what idiot made that up. But every fucking retard was like, he's right. He's right. I mean, listen. Which brings me to my point of this thing. I'm trying to enjoy The West by Ken Burns. And I have heard that Ken Burns is a big bleeding heart, lefty, ultra-liberal, anti-Trump, everything. I know I've said every time. I don't know if I ever have a new listener, but like I really don't like Trump at all. But I hate the other side of things more because they're just this constant victim bullshit and everything else and the fucking crybabies. But which we'll hear more about later. But where was I going with this? Okay, let me stay on track, Luke. Stay the fuck on track. What I'm trying to say is he spends way too much time about the Indians and how the Indians were these horrible victims of let's just say the white man from Europe. White people killed all the fucking Indians, and this place was theirs. And man, we never should have come here. I guess Columbus, if everybody had their druthers and history, everything would have been right the way that things should happen in the world. Columbus should have just turned around and said, you know what, guys, this is a whole giant brand new country. There's maybe 1 million people on the entire fucking continent. That's 3,500 miles long. I'll just turn around because it's not the right thing to do to come here and settle and bring people here. And it'd be horrible if we really subjugated these people and had a violent turnover and everything else. But everyone should be nice because that's how human beings and human history fucking worked. So it's a shame that didn't happen, right? Because that's how stuff is. So he spends so much time on the fucking Native Americans, the indigenous peoples, the original peoples, and their fucking customs and their religions. Like, there's this one fucking, this went on for like 5 minutes. This lady's like, Ken Burns, like, it'll be the narration track and it'll just be showing all the different pictures, like actual photos and shit like that, and all kinds of like visual. That's how we made his bones there, as a standout documentary guy. It's like a, takes you on a little journey through pictures while people talk. And he's got this like old woman, like, she's like, I had him dream. That, I guess it's a woman's voice. That squirrel came up and told him that river run through a mountain. Go see him. And when I crossed mountain, I saw a white man coming with guns and a choo-choo train. And it's going on and on. Talking about like, she's like, in dream, owl tell me that land, go away. White man, come, take land, move, push us, and we get casinos. And fucking, it goes, it's just, I'm like, where's this going? Why do we need this much focus here on this fucking, the whole thing is about the goddamn Indians. I'm like, I understand they were part of it. Can I get a racist re-edit where it's more about the fucking, just the white, I want to know about cowboys and shit. I want to know about the fucking Alamo. I want to know all this. How California got settled and we took it from those Mexican fucks. And now they've all populated here and they won't give me condiments at the fucking drive-thru window when I ask for them. Can I have that? I don't need to sit here and hear the fucking, the day-to-day nuances of the fucking Native American Indians. These fucking savage people. They went to giant wars with each other. They killed each other. They cut each other's fucking heads. It's like they were all like these hippies just living here. Like just sitting around smoking weed like a fucking whole nation of Big Lebowskis. And this, the cruel white man came and just took all. It's so much more complicated than that. But that's what it's been boiled down to. Oh, white man came again. Took over everything and settled and killed the people that were there. Real, real fucking great. Just racism. White people should shut the fuck up. Why can't people be? Who's great? If you never heard Dan Carlin's Hardcore History podcast, he goes through all the entire history of the world and how things happened and got settled. And he's so objective. He doesn't put any kind of fucking bias. He just says, this is what happened. For the reasons that it happened are complicated. And widespread, and it's not, there's nothing cut or dried, and this is how societies happen in every fucking nation that's ever been made ever, was a violent upbringing or somebody got fucked over for the country to become something. It's just the way it goes. It's just fucking human history. whether it's bad or good, it's just how it goes. To sit here and just dwell over it and then reduce it to this fucking notion, whatever. Anyways, I'm just like jumping through chunks. I'm like, can we just get the fucking Billy the Kid, please? For fuck's sakes, with these fucking Indians. I don't care about your fucking dream, about the goddamn what the fucking owl whispered to you about your fucking your buffalo hide sack. Shut it. Fuck up, Ken Burns, about the Indians. Show me the fucking Cowboys. This thing's from like 94. It's old. That's why I don't like it. That takes me out of it, too. I hear like Jason Robards' voice and shit. I'm like, fucking people are dead. This isn't relevant. And look,
what's the difference? If it happened 150 years ago, what difference does it make when he shot the documentary? I mean, if the people are dead narrating it or not, the facts are still the facts and the history's not going to change.
Yes, it is. The people discover things. It's been fucking 25 years or whatever the fuck. Whatever the fuck. I'm not a fucking mathematician, Paulie. And, you know, new things have been discovered. New shit has come to light, man. And I wanted, you know, they found, like, Indian artifacts and fucking cowboys' heads. What the fuck am I going to say? I need water already. I don't need a fucking drink of water. Are you fucking barely 4 minutes in, you fucking cunt? Anyway, long story long. I know that sounded like I paused just to say, hey, it sounds like you're glad that white people killed... No, I'm not. Of course it was horrible. That's what I'm saying. Like Dan Carlin. I look at it Dan Carlin way. Yeah, that's how it happened. That's what happened. Whether it was better or good, you know, just stop dwelling over this shit. And the Indians end up with the fucking casinos. They're doing great, huh? Been in an Indian reservation lately? No, I don't see anybody working. They're having a good time. Just sitting around fucking chewing tobacco, fucking worshipping bats. I don't know. But I want to see Vietnam. Still haven't seen it yet. It's like a 9-part series. That's going to take some fucking watching, ain't it? I have to really dig in. I also watched, which I have not seen in a while, No Country for Old Men. I haven't watched that movie in a while. And I don't know how or why. I was really in the mood to watch something. And I got really dialed in. Had a couple drinks and really helped me focus. That's why I really miss drinking and watching movies. Not getting sloshed, just having a couple, you know. I had two. That's what I did Saturday night. I sat in, watched a movie. And I know I'm not telling you any new information, but God damn it, is that it? That's up there with, like, people say this about The Godfather, that every time you watch it, you notice something else about it. That might have been the best movie they ever made. I mean, every fucking time I watch No Country, there's some detail I missed, some other, like, fucking subtle little reference or nuance. You know, unlike Blade Runner 2, which I talked about last 2 weeks, very much not like that. This leaves a lot of it. This tells you everything you need to know without beating you over the head over it. So there's always something new to discover in No Country for Old Men. So it's such a mastery of, like, filmmaking, of, like, the moving. Like, you can watch it with the sound off and still know everything that happened in that fucking movie. Totally be able to tell. I mean, there's not a ton of fucking dialogue. Anyways, but there's just so much, like, there's so many little. The part in the beginning, I won't spend a lot of time on this. I know everyone's fucking seen the movie, and I'm not breaking any new goddamn ground. But, you know, in the beginning, when Llewellyn, when he first finds the money, and then he goes back to give the guy the water, which is one of the dumber fucking plot points of it. But he comes back, and those the drug dealers show up and catch him there, and they're chasing him. And he has to jump in the water, this river, while she gets shot. They're shooting at him, jumps in the river. They send this fucking dog after him, this, like, pit bull or whatever. And it's swimming after him, and he had a 45 tucked in the back of his belt. So Llewellyn swims. He gets on the shore. Now the dog's closing in on him. He's only got fucking seconds to do this. He pulls I never noticed this before. He pulls the gun out of his pants. He pops around out of the chamber. He blows down the barrel a bunch. Reloads the gun. Cocks it. Shoots the dog just in time. And already it's like, well, this guy has swam in the water with a pistol. This everything is just low. Every fucking shot and scene is just loaded with information that tells you all kinds of shit. It happens so quick you don't even notice it. Like, yeah, it's an action-ish movie. Like, yeah, that's something. It's like, no. It's a little bit more reality-based here. So that tells you right there. The guy knows guns. He, you know, he's familiar with firearms. He swam with a firearm before. So this dude's been in some shit. So that already tells you. You don't sit there and watch the movie. And as it goes, you know, Llewellyn wasn't a fucking, you know, he wasn't a house painter that happened to, you know, who never fired a gun before. It's just little stuff like that just peppers the whole fucking movie. I'm like, God damn it, it's so cool. And then later on, you find out he was in Nam. And see, it just keeps going. And you wonder about it, and you go, that's weird. How the fuck did he know how to do that? And then later on, you find out he was in Nam. You're like, oh, that makes sense. He's experienced firearms, battle, and combat. And that's why he's not afraid to shoot at people and get shot, which he does. And there's another scene where, just a couple jumped out at me. There's when they find out where Llewellyn's old trailer was. Remember, he bails, and first Anton goes looking for him, and he's not there. And when Anton goes to the trailer and no one's home, he's just kind of looking around for clues. But he's such a, like, sure-footed guy. Anton just sits down on the fucking couch and just, like, takes in his surroundings, looking around for clues and little things. Because that's just, like, when you're a professional, that's what you do. You just kind of chill out. You're like, oh, let's see what we got here. And he's sitting, and he's just staring at himself in the reflection of the TV. The TV's off, but he sees himself in the screen. And there's this weird kind of, like, truck-in shot where just kind of, I don't know what they're trying to tell you there, but it just shows him sitting there. So he looks around, and then he finds some kind of fucking clue. What does he find? Like, I think he finds the phone bill with the numbers of people. Yeah, and they find out that they called Llewellyn's wife's mother, and that's how he finds them in Odessa. So he leaves. Later on, Tommy Lee Jones is trying to piece together what the fuck. He's the sheriff, and he's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with all the shootings and everything else in his town. And he finds, then he traces the thing back to Llewellyn's trail. So then Tommy Lee Jones shows up with his deputy or whatever. And then Tommy Lee Jones just grabs a thing of milk. He sits down on the couch in the exact same shot, and he looks at himself in the TV. And I'm like, these guys are like two sides of the, these are like two professionals, like on the hunt doing their job. And they're just like two sides of the same coin. Like, Anton's trying to kill him, and Tommy Lee is trying to arrest him. It's just like this cool, like, two guys with the same kind of old school approach to shit. I was like, they're kind of the same guy. It's fucking great. Just cool. Little shit. Little things like that. Wonderful. Remember when he goes to, after he gets back from, he gets all shut up and almost dies and comes back from Mexico. Llewellyn goes back to that same hunting store where he bought the fucking rifle earlier and the boots or whatever. He's like, how's those boots holding up? And he walks in and he's all fucked up. He's in a hospital gown. And he goes, good. He's like, you got any socks? And he goes, all I sell is white. He goes, good. White's all I wear. And I was like, it's just like a little tossaway line, but it's like, yeah, because working men wear white socks. Why would he wear any other color socks but white? He's not going to a fucking business. It's like a fucking businessman socks. You don't wear fucking white socks to a fucking business meeting. You know? But that's a guy. That's the kind of guy. He's a simple dude. I don't know. Whatever. Watch it again. And fucking pay attention before I fucking come over and smack the fucking taste out of your mouth, you pricks. It's just nice how they... my final thought on this is just the way they let scenes kind of hang and just let stuff just kind of go, and just so you could sit there and absorb it and try to pick up more details and stuff. Like, they use timing in film the way, like, a fucking really good old talented comic uses, like, silence or, like, the space between jokes, you know? Like, just knows how to, like, be quiet and let things kind of hang. That's what reminded me. I was like, what fucking pro filmmakers, these guys? Like, they're just, like, so fucking comfortable just, like, slowly, confidently telling a fucking story and not be, you know, everything's subtle and they're not beating you with it and, fucking A, is that a good movie? Jesus fucking Christ, I know you've probably seen it, but if you haven't seen No Country for Old Men, what the fuck is wrong with you? Go out and see it tonight! I forbid you from listening to this podcast anymore until you've seen that motion picture! Time for some more fucking water. Oh, I said fucking water! You're fucking thirsty, cunt, aren't you? You're fucking thirsty, fucking cunt, aren't you? What else do I got here? You know what you got? Wheat. So today's Wednesday. What did I do last night? I don't know. I didn't do shit last night. But Monday night, Sunday and Monday, I was running around hitting a bunch of fucking mics with the Roach again. My man, my fucking road dog for a lot of comedy shit. And Monday was one of these days that I'm good for one of these a week, sometimes more. And you know what? The older you get, the harder this shit gets to do because it's just exhausting. I just don't have fucking energy to. Probably why I drink so much coffee and why I sleep so shitty. But my biggest problem is, obviously, I work across town, way the fuck over by the beach, and everything else I got to do is back over where I live in the valley, and it takes hours to fucking commute. So I want to go to this Mike Schoonerville over there in Canoga Park Monday night. It's a nice break-in mic. It's a nice break-in material mic. You write something over the weekend or on Friday, and you get it all ready to go, and you start there on Monday night. It's a good little proving ground there, because you get a good handful of real people at that place all the time. For some reason, they're good crowd, they're receptive, you know. For just a kind of a shit kicker bar out there in goddamn nice stage. She's got like a real stage out there in the middle of nowhere in Canoga Park, but way like deep. I mean, way to fuck up. Was it DeSoto? Yeah, Panavision used to be, but heading towards the 118 up there, heading toward the fucking desert. You know what I mean? So, I want to go to that mic, and I wanted to see if... Now, I'm getting out of work pretty early. This is like 3:30, 4 o'clock. The mic's not till 8? 8. 7:30? Yeah, 7:30 sign up, 8 o'clock. And we're going to meet the fucking Verzi boys up there, he and I. And this is kind of becoming like the Monday night crew sometimes, which is me, Eric, them, and then Chris Dunham sometimes. So Eric don't have a car, and he lives right by the Sherman Oaks Galleria, which is right at the intersection of the 101, 405, so I'm kind of going that way. Not really out of my way, but I realize I go to work out quick on Monday over here at fucking Gold's in Venice by my work, and I'm like, okay, I'll work out. He didn't know if he was going to go, so I'm like, okay, I should have just enough time. Either way, even if he wants to go, I could get picking him up is going to cut it short to make it all the way out there, but I think I can work out and do it. So he's like, he's not sure. I said, I'm going in to work out. When I come out, if you want to go, I'll get you. Going to gym, fucking place, packed. I couldn't get out of fucking flat back. It was just chest and shoulders day, which again, I did another fucking 12 plates, six on each side, 650 pounds. Right? Wait, 45 times 12. What is that? Whatever the fuck that is. That's what I shrugged. But I had a shitty workout. I was so mad. I couldn't do the last two fucking things I wanted because there wasn't one free fucking flat bench in that place. So many fucking hot chicks. And God damn it, that place is fucking torture, motherfucker. Because I've gone to gyms all my life. I used to have one of my longest running bits about the gym locker rooms and the gyms that I go to, because there's never any fucking attractive women that the ones I went to at the LA Shitness in the Valley, but this Gold's Gym is like a fucking porn star factory. It's ridiculous. Anyways, that's beside the point. So I get my car. He says he wants to go. Now, my plan is I got to pick him up. I got to get out there just in time. But there's another LA Fitness, which I've never been to and always want to go to. It's fucking massive. It's huge. It's right there by Victory Boulevard and is that Canoga, I think, over there in Woodland Hills. I'm like, that's not far from the thing. So I'll grab Eric. I'll run in. It's fucking 30 minutes. I'll finish this goddamn workout because I don't want to. I feel fucking incomplete if I don't. I know this is some fucking real OCD kind of shit, but I'm like, I want to finish it. I don't feel right. So I got just enough time to do all this. So I pick him up, go to the gym, and we got to 8 o'clock to make the mic. I run in. I work out quick. I pick him up, and I'm fucking starving. So we stop to eat. There's a Wendy's right there. Wendy's is a great, just one Wendy's hamburger is just like such the fucking perfect quick meal. One hamburger and a fucking, you know, Coke or whatever. So I'm like, dude, he's like, I'm starving. I'm like, so am I. There's a Wendy's right there. Let's grab something to eat. We'll fucking run in there. Make a bunch of people laugh. Maybe make their night. Maybe a guy and a gal. We're getting in a fight, an argument at home, and they're like, let's go get something to drink. And then they go, oh, there's a comedy show. Well, haha, we'll see how funny these guys are. And then they laugh at us, and then they make up. They go home and fucking have the best sex of their week because we fucking cheered them. I mean, that's the kind of fucking gifts that you give to people as a comedian. That, folks, maybe that's why I do it. You just bring a little joy to everybody's day. So we go through the drive to Wendy's. All I want, you know where this is going, settle in, Ken and Rusty, just a hamburger and a Coke. Get it all the time. I don't know why L.A., is set for cheese. Their default setting is cheeseburger. You could say hamburger 175 times. You'll get a hamburger with a piece of cheese on it, which makes it a cheeseburger. I never said cheeseburger. Even on the menu, it'll say a Wendy's single. And it doesn't have cheese in the picture. But then they say, do you want it with or without cheese? Even though the default mode is cheese anyway. And I say, no cheese. So what do? They've almost every time they put cheese on it anyways. So I didn't want the fucking fries. Just a hamburger and a Coke, baby. That's all I want. So Eric's in the car. Fuck Eric. And he wants the number one, which is like the single. I don't know if he said cheese or not, but the single meal with the fries. I get to the fucking window, hands us two bags of shit. Now, I'm in a fucking desperate hurry. We literally have 10 minutes before this fucking mic is going to sign up. We're trying to fight. I'm sweating my balls off. It's fucking hot. It's been a fucking crushing heat wave out here. It's been like 100 fucking plus degree. Tuesday broke like records going back to 1909. It was like fucking off the charts hot. I don't know why we're getting this freak heat wave, but it's been fucking brutal out here. So we're eating quick. First of all, I opened my bag, gave us both fries, both fucking french fries, right? I'm in a hurry. I don't have time for this shit. I need to fucking basically eat this while I'm driving almost. And I take the fucking bun off, and this fucking cock-sucking piece of shit gave me a cheeseburger instead. Not only that, well, I was horrified to find He put cheese on the top and the fucking bottom of the bun. So the fucking burger was wrapped in cheese on the top and bottom. I'm like, I said no cheese, and you gave me literally more cheese than I've ever had on a fucking hamburger in my entire fucking 38 years of miserable life. You gave me fucking extra cheese. You fucking, I got somebody fucking blast you in the face with a fucking shotgun. Why? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to get my fucking, dude, my food is wrong 99% of the time. At a drive-thru, I eat out a lot. I'm on the go all the time. Like I said, I work 27 miles from my fucking house, so I get hungry between here and there. I don't got time to fucking pull over, take out a fucking portable grill and make a healthy meal. I gotta grab something quick from Carl's Jr. or whatever the fuck. And it's, the thing that kills me, it doesn't get any simpler. I just want the most basic thing, and they always find a way to fuck it up. So I have to keep plasticware in my glove compartment to scrape the cheese off the fucking burger. That's wrong 99% of the fucking time. So I'm like, God, I'm fucking cursing him, so I'm scaring the shit out of fucking poor Eric. He's like, So I ate the fucking thing just like today. One last aside. Went to Starbucks this morning. Woke up dying for a fucking chocolate chip muffin. I don't know why. I just wanted one. And I couldn't wait. And it was just the right. I'm like, you know what? Just one chocolate chip muffin. Fucking perfect. That's what I'll get. So I go, do you want the muffin heated up? I said, no. And that's how I say it. Nope. No. All right. That'll be $6.75 with my coffee. I get the fucking muffin. They fucking heated it up again. They heated up my fucking... Who wants a hot muffin? Why would you want a hot... Never in my life has anyone asked if I wanted my muffin heated. Why is Starbucks so obsessed with giving me a hot, melty fucking muffin? Who wants a hot fucking chocolate chip muffin with the fucking chocolate chips all melted? You bite into it and the whole thing falls apart. Dunkin' Donuts, Tim Hortons, Tops, Wegmans, Ralph's, you fucking name it. Deli section, nowhere has a fucking a shelf with his, here's your hot muffins. How would you like your muffin hotter? It's not a thought in anyone else's head except for the two fucking faggots that started Starbucks up there in fucking Seattle with their hot fucking chocolate chip burnt fucking melty muffins. Because I did. Took one bite. It started to fall apart. I grabbed it, threw it right out the window. So if you want to walk over at the fucking corner of Laurel Canyon and Riverside in fucking Studio City, there's a fucking muffin there. Well, you'll see the chocolate chips have been all melted all over the fucking sidewalk. I hope a bunch of fucking aunts and uncles got it. I don't know what is so hard about this. They just can't fucking do it. Anyways, back to my crazy Monday night of zaniness. We get to Schoonerville. We meet those fucking pieces of shit. Fox the fucking Verzi triplets, three brothers. They tell jokes. And I'm just kidding. I love those guys. But we get there and we find out, once again, a guy that doesn't give two fucking flying magical shits about fucking sports pervades my life again. Now the mic has been pushed an hour to start because the fucking game is on and it's a sports bar with 97 televisions in it that also has a stage and a comedy show. So we're like, cool, great. Well, I guess we got just enough time to drive over. I've just been running around nonstop since 4 o'clock. I'm so fucking wired. I think I slept like shit, of course, like I do most of the fucking nights. And I'm just like, fuck, this is fucking crazy. I haven't had time to do shit since like I got out of work today. I've just been running around. I fucking rushed through all my workouts, everything. Rushed through my fucking food and fucking cheeseburger. It should have been a hamburger that I had to make into a hamburger manly because this fucking dumb fucking imbecile at the goddamn window couldn't get it right. So we got just enough time to rush over to this place, Paladino's in Reseda, which isn't too far away. I've never done this fucking place. It's another kind of bar just like we were just at. Like, we can run over there, do that one, come back here. By the time we get here, it should be our time, because we were like number 10 in the fucking list at Schoonerville. So we all jump in the Verzi's car, five of us. If you've ever seen these guys, all three of them are like, they're like shaped like Wolverine from the comic books. They're all like short and like super fucking jacked, like super jacked, like they're fucking like hardcore like workout dudes. Like if all three of them grabbed a limb and they could just like rip your fucking body apart. They're ridiculous. And then there's me. I'm fucking sick. They're all short, but I'm, you know, there was not enough car for the amount of human being that was in it. We're so fucking squished in, like Sean's fucking elbows on my ribs. We're fucking all an ass over the fucking Peladitos, and like now we're all just like wired and shit. I'm just like, dude, can you imagine if this fucking car crashed right now? It'd be like the night the music died, man. It'd be like the airplane that took down like Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, but it'd be like that, but comedy probably national headlines, like all the amazing comic talent that car. I don't know what kind of me. I was so fucking wound up and like just fucking crazy. So we get to Paladino's, and now I've driven past it. It's right by where my old apartment was, in San Recita Boulevard, kind of near, halfway between like Victory and maybe like Burbank Boulevard. You know what I'm saying right there? Just kind of before the freeway, before the 101 up there. So we go in, and it looks just kind of like it's going to be a divey bar. But the place is like way bigger than you would expect inside. The bar section with a couple of fucking pool tables is huge. And then I look in like the showroom where the stage is, and it is fucking massive. Like the stage is so big, you could have like a fucking Converge show in there. Like 500 people could fit in a fucking room easy, and you have a band in there. I was like, holy shit, this place is fucking huge. And it's all like Christmas lights up in the ceiling, and like, it was really cool. It was like a really nice like performing arts space. I was like, shit, this is like deceptively fucking huge inside, for Christ's sakes. Anyways, so we're like, we're ready to go up in there. So I want to fucking, I always have like one drink before the mic. So I have one, and one wasn't enough, so I had two. So, but I was like, that's it. All right, that's it. I don't want to get fucked up. And I was buzzed all right. And I hadn't really eaten a lot. I just ate my fucking cheeseburger that was supposed to be a hamburger. And I don't know. We're just getting so fucking so, we're just fucking all nuts. Like, they went up and did pretty, Eric did really fucking, Rocha did really good. And I don't know. I mostly winged a bunch of shit to like mixed results, because the fucking last set of jokes I wrote last week are just, like one after another. It's just like a fucking, this is a swing and a miss and all these bits. Like I said, like about 2 weeks ago, I wrote a pretty good set that worked all right for the most part. But this latest shit I'm writing just fucking is not hitting. It's just not working. I don't know. It seems like it would work on paper, but I guess that's my biggest problem, isn't it? That I think it's funny and no one else does. That's a pretty serious problem when you're a comedian that's supposed to go up and make other people laugh, not you. You're not yourself. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I didn't do, you never really bomb. Like, your friends are always there to laugh because I'll say something stupid, but whatever. It wasn't great. So, now we're done. We drive all the fucking way back to Schoonerville. Am I missing anything? Let me see. We go all the way back over to Schooners, and we're right now at this point, I'm getting, like, exhausted. Now it's, like, fucking 9:30, all right? I've done all this shit. I'm fucking tired, but I'm like, the show must go on, folks. There's people that need to be made not laugh. You ain't gonna stop me from getting up there. So again, all three of us fucking go up, and like, the place now, when the show first starts, now like I said, we were like number like fucking 7, 8, 9 in the list. So by the time you're up, like, there's not quite as many people there. In the beginning, everyone's in there, but the place is starting to thin out. We're kind of like all sitting in the back, and we're just so wound up. Like everyone that got called to the stage, we're like, yeah, we get up and fucking scream, like clap super hard. We're like, fuck, like people didn't even know. We're like, fuck yeah, Jimmy, get up there, fucking make us laugh, yeah. And the comics, they'd be all wound up, like, yeah, thanks, guys. the last guy went up, was what the fuck's his name? That Larry, the guy that keeps his phone tucked on the side of his belt, the older guy. He's like fucking probably like, I don't know, 55. And to put it as nicely as I can, he's new at comedy and he's got a ways to go. He's got a ways to go before he finds his voice. Poor Larry. But, like, he's kind of like he seems like a sweet guy. You know, he's just like, the guy's probably like a fucking law clerk during the day, and this is like his only, and he's very well-spoken. He's like, guys, I'll tell you, I was sitting on the freeway today, and a man cut me off, and I said, what the heck are you, like, I can't even describe it, just very wholesome, and he can't stop. And he was the last guy. We were so fun. We're like, fuck you, Larry! We're all screaming different things about like Larry's, and I'm just like, I'm yelling, you're gonna find your fucking dead dog dead in the hallway, Larry, for Raging Bull. He ran up and like put his arms up. He's like, yeah, thanks, guys. He was all fucking pumped up. We wouldn't stop clapping and screaming. Like, he already had the mic in his hand. We're still going. I didn't do great at Schooner. I did all my material, and it just got like when your friends don't even, like, you don't even really get sympathy laughs from your friends. It's a fucking dead bit. This shit's going nowhere. I'm like, fuck, I gotta scrap all this now too. So now we get done. It's like 11:30, 12 at fucking night. We go outside, and there's like, it's windy as fuck out. Like midnight, and there's still like hot, like 85, 90 degree air just blowing through fucking Canoga Park. I'm like, holy fuck, it's hot. Jesus, it was like we were in a fucking oven. It's never that hot at night. Maybe in like the fucking end of July or something. I don't know. It just keeps getting like the hotness can keeps getting kicked further and further down the road as far as like times of year. It's still hot here because September is the fucking hottest. And it's usually even warm all the way up to, it's hot up to Thanksgiving, but like not this hot. This is fucking insane. Like it's been hot over, but at the, or we got to look, it's hot. Who cares? Even over by my work by the beach, it's been fucking just scalding over there. Like Jesus Christ. And then I woke up the next day and I don't know what the fuck. And I just fucking washed my car. I just washed it on Sunday, right? It's fucking, it's Monday night. Everything, it was fine when I went to sleep. I woke up the next day and it was like a fucking, it looked like Mad Max outside. There was like a windstorm or something overnight and just fucking blew dirt and shit everywhere. Like the fucking swimming pool looked like chocolate milk. And there's like this weird haze in here. I'm like, what the fuck happened last night? And I get down to my car and it looked like someone took a leaf blower and just blew it on my car for 15 fucking minutes. It was fucking caked in dirt. I'm like, cool. I didn't even get 48 hours of cleaning this fucking thing. I should never have bought this car. This car is a fucking pain in the ass. It's too expensive. I'm too worried about it. It's too fucking lumbersome and cumbersome. I just, you know, it was a great idea and I wanted it. I do love this car. I am not in a point in my life I should have a car like this. I just don't. You should be living in Calabasas with a house and a garage and covered parking and not have to drive it nearly as much as I do. I fucking made a mistake. I should have bought this fucking thing. I wish I could trade in for a piece of shit that I didn't have to worry about. Just I constantly worry about the fucking mileage. I mean, what's my mileage at? What am I at here? Fucking 10.6. Oh my God. I'm at almost 11,000 fucking miles. It's not even 6 months old. Oh my God. I can't believe. Yes, I'm going to the ice house, you fucking moron. That's what I'm doing? Great. Fucking moron. I stink of a dumb fuck. This thing's too expensive. I fucked up. This is me saying I fucked up. What do you want from me? There's a new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm out. I never got that show. I never got Seinfeld. I didn't hate them. I wasn't like, fuck those guys. They just never made me laugh. I knew they were like talented and shit. And I could watch it and be like, yeah, it's really clever writing. But it just never particularly did anything for me or actually like made me laugh. Oh, hang on. What's my boss saying? Hang on. I texted my fucking boss. Oh, I fucking pulled my... I knew it. Fuck. All right. I pulled that whole fucking job for nothing. It just canceled. I knew that was going to happen. Shitballs. I watched like one episode. I think my ex used to watch it. It would be kind of on in the background. I'm just like, what, none of this is funny. What is this? So everyone's talking about this new season. What's been like a long time? Was it 10 fucking years or something between since the last time it's been on? And I'm like, there's nothing on. And I'm like, and I know Punisher is coming, which I can't fucking wait. Waiting for that one. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give it a sit down and give it a real shot. And like the first episode's going and nothing's for this is the new season. Well, season 9, I think they're on. And it's just doing nothing for it. It looks like shit. And it's lit like crap. And the fucking, it's so like overscored with like wacky music. I'm like, what is like a fucking 1930s fucking silent movie with this like, this stupid strings and piano. This is fucking retarded. Like, I get it. It's supposed to be funny. I don't need wacky music to underscore every fucking scene. And it was really pissing me off. And I was about to bail. And one fucking thing at the very end of the episode made me fucking laugh really hard. And I was extra lazy and just tired from that Monday night. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch another one. And then I watched a second. It was all the Fatwa storyline where he makes the Fatwa fucking musical. And then he gets in trouble with the fucking Shah of Iran once ago. The Ayatollah or whatever. So, I don't know. By the middle of the second episode, I was, like, laughing at a whole bunch of shit. And then it just kind of hooked me. And I actually fucking watched, like, 5 episodes. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, my God. I fucking actually liked this shit. Finally, after... Because someone made a fucking... Because they're so rotten in that ONA fucking subreddit. It's just the most... But they're funny. So I can't not hang out in there. Because they're just the funniest, meanest people that just say the... You know, the most, like real stuff that no one else will say. Like, really politically incorrect and kind of this kind of shit. But someone made a fucking reference. They go, well, it's truffle season. I go, oh my, I know what that is. I go, I just became a Curb Your Enthusiasm 12 hours ago. I know what you're talking about. And I got downvoted to shit because they're like, fuck you. Fucking assholes. But yeah. So I looked at that fucking show. I hate Jeff Garlin. His stand-up stinks. But I don't think he's that great on the show. But the one when he thinks he sees the fucking shooter at the funeral, he's like, gone. And everybody runs out. Everyone runs out screaming. And there's that shot of... Jeff Garland, where he's like, Fatwa! Fatwa! Screaming as he's running away. That was fucking funny. There's two fucking open mic comics. The fucking Bones comic was in it, in the courtroom. I'm like, holy shit. And then the very next episode, fucking Tam Pham is sitting right in front of him at the goddamn funeral. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ. What am I, the only fucking open mic comedy that was on the fucking show? I'm gonna fire my agent. I don't have an agent. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, Jesus Christ, how many more people are going to be on this fucking thing? Gee, I watched Marin season 4. There's two fucking comics I know. Those two guys are a little higher, though. What's his name? The stuttering prick. What the fuck's that guy's name? Drew Lynch. And then I always forget the fucker's name. The guy that looks like LL Cool J. But, I mean, I used to see him at that improv. I used to see Drew Lynch everywhere. But I mean, the Bones comic. I'm the comic that talks about beds. He was in it. And he had a Hot Water Music shirt on the other day at the Flappers. And we talked about Hot Water and Hardcore and how much their new album sucks. He's going, I kind of like the Bones comic. He's kind of growing on me. He's a little bit of a pain in the ass, and he's a little comes on a little strong, but I don't know. That's how all these guys, I hate everyone when I first meet most of these comics. Well, not all of them, but like there's a lot of guys I fucking hated, and just from being around them, like going on years, they just kind of grow. Like, what's his name, Snyder from fucking Flappers, what's that, Josh Snyder? He kind of grew just all after a while. You're just like, Jeff Carosales, I like him now. Just, you know how it goes. Whatever. I'll take some warming up. I'm a fucking prick. Damn, fam. I love. He looks like fucking Nia Nub from fucking Return of the Jedi. They gotta get some kind of reading on those shields up or down. All gonna jam us if they don't know that we're coming. Attention, fleet. Pull up. Shields are still up.
You sure we don't get any reading on those shields?
All craft pull up. Remember, towards the end. Smart Orlando, he saved the whole fucking fleet that would have flown right into the goddamn Death Star. Halloween is coming. It'll be this weekend. Bokes is having a party at his house, his new house, his townhouse. And I wanted to go, and I was all getting ready to go. I'm getting the final touches on my costume, which is very low maintenance. I'm going as now I have a machine gun, ho ho ho, from Die Hard. I already got the shirt. And yesterday, I'm like, folks, you're still on for the party, right? Yeah. No one else is gonna go because no one hangs out. The whole crew is just dissipating now. It's sad. I'm moving on a group of friends number like 4 of my lifetime, which is sad. But I'm getting old. What do you want from me? People get old, get married, stuff, hanging out, they grow up. Come a bunch of fucking boring faggots. I'm kidding. But, you know, who dawns on me, he's probably going to be there, is my ex, The Handful, who you've heard on this show many times, who's pretty much phased out of my life now, but I haven't talked to her in a long time. Last time I texted her just to say hi, she was really fucking nasty to me. So I was like, all right, well, I guess this is fucking run its course over the course of about 3 fucking years. But I'm like, fuck, I bet she's going to fucking be there, man. I don't want to fucking deal with this cunt. Especially this other chick, because Bokes' chick is like, she's a fucking pretty, a lot of her friends are hot, none of them seem to like me, even though she's the one that hooked me up with The Handful, is one of Bokes' chick's friends. So I don't know if she's going to come and cost him, because The Handful's a fucking handful, and she's a cunt, especially when she gets some drinks in her. She's a real fucking loudly opinionated fucking dumb bitch, with just big, giant, fucking luscious tits and a fucking nice, soft, wet pussy I like fucking. So, I don't know, it could go like one of 3 ways. She could not show up at all. She can show up and it'll be fine. She can show up and we get in a big fucking fight and she makes a scene like fucking Stacy from Wayne's World because she's a fucking obsessed retard. Or, you know, maybe even option 4, maybe we go home and fuck. She gets drunk and she has sex with me. But I can't stay out late because Sunday morning I have to be on Mr. Pollock's show because we got Ricky Gervais coming in. I got to take pictures of Ricky and fucking Kevin. That'd be cool, right? He's psyched about that. He has been talking about Ricky coming on the show since fucking March. He has been announcing him every week since March, and he loves Ricky Gervais. So I'm like psyched for him because like he's, I don't know, I guess that's one of his heroes. He loves him. I hope we get fucking Jimmy when he comes. He's coming in November and I haven't heard that he's been booked, but I hope Mr. Jim Norton comes on. That'd be fucking cool. Jimmy's coming. Who wants to go? He's coming to the Key Club there, where I saw Dice. It's a good place to see comics. Go. The tickets are like $40 with blows after all the service fees and bullshit, but I'm going. You going? Scotty, you going? Come on. Let's go. Anyways, what are you doing for Halloween? You got any plans? What are your costumes? Call 1-800, whatever the fuck this number is, and we'll talk Halloween. Yeah. Stevie Wonder, I think he sang the national anthem and then kneeled during it. Fuck Stevie Wonder. I hate Stevie Wonder. I never liked him. I never liked Scott Stone, his hands in the air. I never liked one fucking song from that guy. He's the most overrated, over fucking played, boring fuck. I hate that fucking sound of those fucking piano keys make. It sounds like somebody running through a fucking cupcake fucking factory. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. It sounds yucky. All right? I fucking hate him. I don't like, I literally do not like one. I hate Aerosmith. I hate them. But I like Angel. I love that song. I hate the fucking Goo Goo Dolls, but I like Naked. I like that song. Those bands I hate, Red Hot Chili Peppers, I despise. I despise them. I hope they fucking burn to death in a fucking, I hope their bus catches on fire and they can't get out, and the handle to get open the door melts, and they slowly burn until there's just four fucking skeletons sitting there on the fucking ground, all with smoke coming off of them, like they got shot by the Mars Attacks laser. I hope that happens to them, but I still love Soul to Squeeze. I like that. Stevie Wonder, not one fucking stupid song from that blind cunt. And now he's like, oh, I'm going to kneel. Black Lives Matter. I've never heard you say one thing about anything about fucking black people in your life until it became in vogue to kneel or fucking do whatever the fuck you're going to do during this stupid anthem. And this idiot's got to weigh in. Shut up, Stevie. Why don't you go sing down in the middle of fucking Chicago where they're fucking shooting each other by the fucking several dozen a weekend? Do those Black Lives Matter or just the ones you want to complain about because a fucking cop fucking put the handcuffs on too fucking tight? Stupid fuck. Fucking Stevie Wonder. I wonder why you're still alive, you dumb fucking... I thought you were a fucking diabetic. How many fucking toes you got left, you fucking blind prick? I hate that cunt. Ugh! Fucking bore. Boring cunt! Cunt! Fucking Ronnie. David Cross now. I guess we're going to just kind of venture into the waters of the right wing roundup here. Right ring minutes. Well, do we have anything else? Okay. Yeah, we'll get into this. Oh, God. See, I keep saving these to the end, towards the end, and I don't quite have the energy or the, because I'm just tired of complaining about it. It's all day, every day. It's just a nonstop onslaught in 2017 with stupid fucking Trump as president. Everyone's got a bitch. Everyone's got a victim. It's oppression incorporated. It's a business to be victimized and offended and oppressed. Has turned into a commoditized fucking business where you make money and make a living by bitching and finding a way to be fucking hurt or offended or sue or get attention for whatever fucking happened, whether it was legitimate or not. It just never ends. And I just don't even have the fucking steam. But let Nick DiPaolo take over. He's a fucking pro. I just don't fucking have it anymore. I mean, I do, but it's just week after week of this shit. I almost don't. I have like 9 fucking like bullet points here I could go down to and like probably spend literally an hour straight screaming about just fucking bullshit liberal fucking pussy crybaby left wing fucking guilty white fucking stupid people. Asshole NPR fag fucking Comedy Central fucking Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, fucking pandering Jim Jefferies bullshit. But it's just like, what cares? I got time for like 1 or 2. I can't do like 7, which I like every week. There's been like 7. I don't even get to them, which I'm sure you guys are really sad about. You want to hear me, a fucking raging fucking approaching middle-aged white man, complain about minorities and the left? I'm sure that's really really fucking pumps your nads. I know Molière does. It's wrong to destroy literature. Some chick said, yeah, did you see this David Cross story about the lady that said he made like gooky, she met him, she was Chinese, and said, hi, I'm a fan, and he said, ching chong, or something to her like this, like something really fucking offensive. Like fucking 20 years ago, and now this chick comes out and tweets it, and it gets picked up and goes everywhere, and instead of David Cross just being like, fuck you, I don't even know what you're talking, I don't remember you, I don't know what you're talking about, he's like, oh. If I did that, I can't, but let's talk. I can't believe now if he said that, yeah, he's a dick. I understand. And if there's an auto recording of him doing it or something, it'd be a different story. But it's just this girl's word against him. And all these, this is why we have courts of law and the justice system, because there's supposed to be a trial and evidence presented and things to convince people beyond a reasonable doubt that a person did something. And now all you have to do is just say it. And then if it turns out that it was false anyway, the retraction gets buried on page fucking 12. No, the real story is that he did this. And if you didn't do it, no one remembers that you didn't, even if you were fucking proven. That gets buried. But the initial fucking feelings hurting is national fucking news for days, thanks to fucking, you know, social media, which ruined this fucking country. It just absolutely fucking ruined it. But Yeah, so he's been all on the defensive, and his own fucking wife threw him under the bus. And I'm just like, this is fucking so embarrassed. This, are you happy, bitch? Did you get your fucking... This is what everyone said, especially on the ONA subreddit. Like, why didn't she say anything at the time? Why does every one of these fucking broads where somebody said something offensive or did something, they wait 20 years to come out and tweet about it? They didn't say a fucking word when it happened. They didn't slap in the face. They didn't throw a fucking drink in their face. They didn't grab their fucking... grab their ears and slap their fucking cheeks like fucking Mo from the Three Stooges. Nothing. They just sat there going, I can't wait till someone invents Twitter so that I can fucking tweet about it. So, oh, stop it! Grow some balls, ladies. Sorry. All right. Got that out. What else do I got? Yeah, Yahoo News with these fucking, just these race fan. This is all right. This is the last two I'll touch on. Just fanning the flames of the race war. Their ultimate project. That's the media's ultimate. Like I said, it's their Marvel Avengers fucking movie is the race war. That they cannot wait. They just love pointing out any time something bad happened to a black person at the hands of a white person. They have to make such a story. They'll cite every race of every offending person. But if it's the other way around, it's teens, youths, suspects. They'll never say the right. If it's a black person at it, they will never say a black man. But if it's white, they'll tell you they're fucking where they're from, what kind of fucking, how they like their toast. Every white thing they could think of. Remember when the fucking George Zimmerman thing happened with Trayvon Martin? They called him a Caucasian Mexican. Everyone's like, what the fuck is a Caucasian Mexican? Just to make it more white on black crime because it fucking sells papers better. And everyone just eats his shit up. They don't even fucking ask a question about it. Is that more racism? No, it's manufactured fucking racism by the fucking media. They love it because they know it fucking sells whatever. Shut up. I sound like fucking Howard Dean and fucking... network, for Christ's sakes, and I am not him. I've been looking for apartments because I need to move over to the west side. I need to get the fuck out. Like I just said, I have 11.6 on my fucking car already. I'm just drowning this fucker in mileage, and I really got to start thinking about getting on the other side of town. So I've been fucking looking at apartments, which is impossible to do and beyond enragingly frustrating. No one answers the fucking phone at any of these properties. No one ever picks up. There's never a human being. If they do pick up, they barely speak English. They don't take your. They never answer messages, emails, voicemail, nothing, texts. No one. They never call back. I don't know. I've called fucking dozens of these places. I paid money to get on fucking Westside Rentals just to fucking look for a place. It did like it was virtually useless. And then like I have to find another roommate. I can't fucking. I mean, if I'm gonna move, I have to move in with somebody. I can't afford my own fucking place because even like a studio on the west side is like fucking $1,500 fucking dollars. Like I found a really nice one bedroom in Inglewood, and I was thinking about getting it. It was $1,400, and I'm like, I think I can pull it off. And I went home and broke down my fucking budget, and I was like crushed. I'm like, I can't swing $1,400. And Inglewood is turning like the Brooklyn of fucking Los Angeles. It's like really like on the come up and getting like gentrified and shit. And parts of it are just getting nicer and nicer. And it didn't look like it wasn't that bad of an area. It was over, what was it, La Tierra in La Cienega or Sentinel over there? It's at the edge of the crap. It's kind of by the airport, but fucking great apartment. It was all fucking redone and I couldn't afford it. Whatever. Anyways, so I go to look at this fucking property yesterday. And it was kind of in the hood, and I was like, so I get this text message. Now, I'd obviously inquired about, a lot of these are on Craigslist. I look all over the place, rent.com, all this shit. I'm looking everywhere. I can't stay. It's like the DMV of real estate. It's like DMV, but real estate. I'm trying to find, I hate it. I fucking hate going through this shit. I can't stand it. I hate apartment shopping. I hate it. I fucking hate dealing with it. It'd be one thing if I had a lot of money to play with and it had some flexibility in getting a place, but I don't. So I got to take either a shitty studio by myself, or I gotta just fucking move in with somebody, which I'm not looking fucking forward to, but what am I supposed to do? So I get this random text message at like noon. It says, showing the place on beach in Inglewood at 5:30 from just some 310 number. And I'm like, well, who the fuck is this? Because I haven't fucked with it, and I haven't hit anybody up really like in a couple days. So I don't know. This must have been from like a week ago or something. And I'm like, okay, is there a link for this? I text this random number back, and I'm like, is there a link for the specs to the place? Or for how much? I don't even remember what ad this is. Can you show me what the ad's from? Just nothing. Doesn't answer me all day. Two texts. It's 10 in the morning I got this thing. Like, I'm showing it at 5:30 tonight, and I'm like, okay, I'll be there. Thanks for giving me no more. I mean, all I got to do is text me the link, but they couldn't even do that. So I'm just going into this thing completely. I don't even know what apartment it is. Nothing. I don't know shit. So I go there, and it's in the hood, and there's this, like, It's all black people in this fucking plaza, and there's like this ratty looking, like, she looked like a fucking meth header. This chick looked fucked up. But she was in line for the apartment. I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, we're all going to compete for this place. And I'm really, like, on the fence about it anyways. Because I don't know how much it is. I have no idea. So the lady finally shows up. She's, like, 15 fucking minutes late. I don't even know if she's going to come. And I'm already like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. None of these fucking places in the West Side have air conditioning. None of them. I don't know what it is. They're all like, well, they were built in, like, 1950, and the owner... I know, I understand, but it was 60 years ago. They've never thought to put air conditioning in the fucking buildings. Even the window ones. No one has it over there. So, I'm like, so we're looking around, and it's like, it's supposed to be a studio, but it's actually kind of like a one, it's like a little bedroom. It was, even though the place was a little bit of a shithole, and it wasn't a great neighborhood, it was 1400, which ain't that bad. I mean, the other place I could have got, it was 1425 at that place, but I'm just like, 1400 for this, I can't do it. So I leave, and now a couple weeks before, when I went to look at that other place in Inglewood, it was another one of these insane days where I was rushing around trying to go look at this place and then work out and make it to a fucking mic. So again, I had to go through a fucking drive-thru. And I went to this fucking McDonald's on La Tierra. If you get off the 405 near the airport, La Tierra exit, and you take La Tierra up to Centinela, make a right. That's kind of where this place I was looking at is, which I don't know if I said. I can't afford the place. I can't go. I liked it, and I can't get it. And the guy was pissed. I paid the $30 fucking application fee and everything. But I stopped at this McDonald's to grab a fucking hamburger, and I was going to look at that first place a couple weeks ago. And I get to the window to pay, and this fucking black chick was like, the hottest black girl I've ever seen. She was fucking gorgeous. My heart skipped to me. I was like, oh. I was not ready for this. I was like, holy shit, you're fucking pretty. She's probably like 20. And she was all like, kind of like, she was like really fucking cute. And she was just kind of like, I don't know, she seemed nice. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, ask for her fucking number, you idiot. Fucking, what are you doing? You love black women. Try to get some. And I did nothing. And I was so mad. And I still thought about this chick. I was so, every once in a while I'll get one of those where I'm just like, you should have fucking done something, you fucking bag. And I did it. And it still bugged me. So I went all the way out of this McDonald's. It was like 3 or 4 miles from this place I was just looking at. And I'm like, I'm going back to that McDonald's. God damn it. And I want that black beauty to be in there. And this time I'm going to say, you know what, lady? What's your name? I'll tell you my name. Why don't we go out and fucking get sushi sometime and talk about fucking black people things. And I sat in this fucking drive-thru line. This is like 5 o'clock, too. It's a really bad time to go. And it's a really busy fucking street. And I fucking sat in this drive-thru line for like a half hour. I swear to God, it was like a half hour. Because there's supposed to be two of those lines for McDonald's. You know how they have like the double fucking, I don't know, the ones out here, I'm sure they have them back east, too. But they'll have the drive-thru get so busy, there's two different things you can go to to give your order. But one of them was closed, so there's only one. And I fucking went, I'm like, this fucker better be there. And of course I get to the thing, like, yeah, welcome it down, motherfucker, gonna help you. I'm like, oh, that's not her, god damn it. So I just got an ice cream sundae, right? I'm like, oh, I got a sundae. Yo, you want nuts on that, motherfucker? I'm like, no nuts, thanks. Actually, I do want nuts. They didn't have, they're all out of it. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. So I'm waiting. I get to the first window to pay, not her. I'm like, maybe she'll hand me the ice cream, I didn't even want the sundae. It was only, it's like $1.30 for an ice cream sundae. I just wanted to get something to go through, a token item, to see if my fucking Nubian princess was there. She was not. So I get to the second window. Now, I'm starving. So and there's an El Pollo Loco. Ooh, I probably eat at El Pollo Loco 3 fucking times a week. I'm not shitting you. Because they got those chicken avocado tortilla wraps that are under 500 calories. And a fucking Diet Coke, and it's a good pre or post workout. It sits just right in me, doesn't fuck me up. There's not a lot of junk on it. It's in the under 500 calories menu, and they're fucking delicious. So I eat there all the time, and I'm like, all right, I'll go to El Pollo because that's not that bad, and it'll sit better than McDonald's will. I don't want to be sitting here just with my stomach all fucked up from their hamburger. All I ever get is like a hamburger from McDonald's. So I get to that window, and I don't know why I was concerned because I really did not plan on eating this sundae at all. But the lady, she puts it down near the drive-thru window and then walks away. And now there's hot fudge in this motherfucker. And I'm waiting. And there's cars behind me. I'm like, I want to be the guy that gets the food super quick so that the guy behind me goes, yeah, all right, that motherfucker. And it took him 30 seconds to get his food handed. I like being that guy. Because, like I said, I'm a people-pleasing fucking idiot. I worry about everyone. So I want to just be like, I don't even want to stop. I want to just coast through, foot off the fucking brake, car fucking puts through, stick the fucking thing out the window. I grab it and keep driving, drop the money off in one fucking fell swoop, all in the same fucking gesture. I don't have to stop my car. That's my ideal. That's what I want to fucking do. That's a drive through. I drove right through it. I got my food. I gave you my money. I left. Got a boom. Fucking guy behind me is already next at the fucking window. That's efficiency. That's what I fucking want. That's what I try to do. And my ice cream is just sitting there, and I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? And it turned out the lady was running around looking for nuts. They ran out of fucking nuts. She's like, oh, I ran out of nuts for your sundae. I'm like, cool. Well, I just sat here for 4 minutes while it melted, you fucking idiot. You could have just asked me right there. Just said, do you want nuts? Because I can't find them. Anyways. So, as I said, the El Pollo Loco, where I'm really going to eat. Now, like I said, McDonald's was just a big ruse to see if my gal was there. She wasn't. And I'll probably never fucking see her again. Because I didn't act. I should have fucking had all the time in the world to hit on her that first time. But I was so shocked by her beauty that I couldn't even find the words to address her. I was just, it was like standing in the presence of a fucking goddess. But I'm like, I'm going to let El Pollo Loco right there and get my real fucking meal. So even though it's across the street, it is such a fucking rotten, busy-ass intersection that it's taken me like 20 minutes to get over there. And the entire time, I'm really hungry. The whole time, there's a fucking McDonald's hot fudge sundae just sitting in my car. And my hands just like a fucking junkie with a needle full of fucking heroin. I'm like, oh, that fucking sundae, give me that fucking thing. So I took two fucking spoonfuls. I went, ga-doom, ga-doom. You know, the airplane, here comes the airplane. Open up, Lukey. And I stuck it in my mouth. I did two of those and threw the fucking spoon out the window. Because I didn't want to sit there and eat the fucking thing like a ziggy piggy, ziggy piggy, ziggy piggy. I don't want to be that. So I threw it out the fucking window. I was like, God, that was some hard time. That was a hard 10 minutes to not wolf down that fucking Subway Sunday. But I didn't. And I got my chicken avocado tortilla wrap with some creamy cilantro salad sauce. And I dunk a little bit on there and I get a little side of coleslaw. And that's what the Lukester eats several times a week. Because I'll tell you this. Yeah, it's fast food. You can eat a lot worse than that. That and Carl's Jr. Barbecue chicken sandwich with nothing on it. Which they always put everything on it. Just a sandwich.
Yeah, just a sandwich?
Yeah, just a sandwich.
No lettuce?
No lettuce, no.
No tomato?
No tomato. Just a fucking thing on a bun, you cunt.
You don't have to call me a cunt.
All right, sorry. And then I hear in the background. That's what I get. Like I said, good pre, good post-workout. You could do either. You either burn it off before, you know, and it gives you the fucking fuel you need to shrug 12 fucking 45-pound plates several times, by the way. This ain't a one-off. I do three sets of like 8 to 12, sometimes 15, and that's a lot of weight. I have to see you fucking do it. You sit there going, listen to this fucking douchebag brag about his weight. Yeah, well, I fucking worked for it. And my shoulders look fucking great now. I got big shoulders thanks to that fucking Gold Gym. The shoulder machine's doing some fucking damage. I look like a goddamn man. My fucking chicken, she looks up and she just grabs my shoulder like fucking bicycle handle. You fuck me, you goddamn fucking guinea from fucking Buffalo. Stupid big lip, crooked eye, fucking bird egg throat, cunt, fucking asshole. I don't know if they actually say that or if I just hear that in my head. But I'm thinking it and I'm telling you about it. I'm going to drink a water. I can't tell you how hot this black girl was. I was fucking smitten with her. I heard like shabop shabop music. Like little sparrows flew through my car and shit and put a little fucking bow on my head on the way out. It was fucking Cupid shot a fucking arrow from a compound fucking bow right into my fucking rotten black heart. I wanted her. I would have made a fucking good wife out of her. What a good wife you would be. What a fine girl. There's a McDonald's on La Tierra way by the airport. That's what I say. I went through the drive-thru and I saw a Moulinion. Brandy, she's a fun girl. What a black live wife you would be. I fucked it up. So now I'm on my way to this mic, dude. And I met a gal today on Bumble, which is generally a useless app. I'll tell you what. Ever since I posted my pictures of me in glasses, I get a handful a couple a day. I was getting zero for weeks. Girls like me with the glasses. I think they're really helping. I gotta get more and more messages. Tell you what, my other boss, the crazy British guy, like, you're fucking really good in glasses. I don't know what that accent was. So I'm good bad with accents. I used to be really good with them, and all of a sudden they just, My brain can only fill up with so much useless, shitty knowledge from, like, Ken Burns documentaries and shit. And I guess it pushes some of the old stuff out, like the ability to do impressions properly of accents from around the globe. I used to be well known for that. People used to call me up and be like, just talk to me in a British accent, man, just to fucking brighten me up and feel like I'm talking to somebody else. And I would do it, you know? It was like a psychiatry session. My father would call me, be like, your mother's not fucking me right anymore. Talk to me like a British man and tell her to shave her bush. But, so I met this chick, and I talked to her all day, and she seemed cool, and there's some very interesting aspects about this woman. I don't want to go into it because I'm not trying to be Mr. Mysterio. I just don't know if you know me in the history of the show with meeting women, with talking to women. It don't usually last long. It's like a flash in the fucking pan. So if I start making not even predictions, but like, I wonder if this will happen, it almost never does because my life is like one of the fucking inmates from Oz. When you think they're getting out, you know, something just comes along. They always like ruin, like, I'm getting out today. And then there's something that cuts your fucking Achilles heel so you're hobbled and can't walk. Or they plant drugs on you so you're walking out of the gate to your wife that you haven't seen in 20 years. They're like, what's this? And you go right back into Oz and they fucking just gang rape you in the ass. That's what happens. I'm fucking Charlie Brown with the fucking football. So I'm not even going to elaborate on any other info. I'm just going to let things kind of fucking simmer. Right now the story is marinating in a nice sauce. It's not ready to be fucking cooked yet. When it's ready to be cooked, I'll put it on a grill and tell you about it. But all I'm saying is I'm meeting her at the Ice House, Mike, which makes me nervous anyways. I don't know why. I'm always a little nervous in that fucking room for some reason. I think it's because it's very clicky there and I'm not in that click. I don't hate those. It's like Bruce Gray and all those dudes. And like they're funny guys too, but I'm just not, I'm friendly with them, but I'm not like friends with them. And it's just, I feel like I'm the fucking outside man and I don't think my sense of humor gels quite with those dudes. So I get in my own head a little bit and it's a toss up. But in general, I don't have a great track record. But this chick, I just met her today and the thing, she's going there to meet me, like to watch me do stand up. And she said, she's like, I tried to do stand up for a while and I've done open mic. I warned her all the shit. I'm like, listen, it's terrible. It's like the, I'll make another DMV reference. It's like the DMV of the performing arts, the open mic. It's really fucking tedious and shitty, and I don't want to put you through it. And there's a lot of bad, follow-up. I tell her the whole spiel. She's like, it's fine. I don't give a shit. And I'm like, well, if I bomb, it's going to dry your fucking panties like a fucking toaster oven. There's nothing worse than you go to see a, meet a dude for a first date, and you go see him do stand-up, and he eats shit. Dude, who's going to want to fuck that? I wouldn't. And most of the time, they don't. Even though, I you know, the handful of times I've ever had girls come, I did pretty good. So I don't know why. I don't know. I'm feeling okay about it. Whatever. I'm just completely fucking Mark Maroning out on you right now. But that's what's going on. There's going to be a chick there. So we'll see how things go. But she seems like a very freewheeling, free-spirited gal. And I think we're supposed to... I think she's supposed to come over afterwards and watch a fucking movie with me. So we'll see what happens there, huh? Maybe I'll get some fucking stink on my hang low because I ain't got some fucking puss in a while. A real fucking dry run for me. I need to get my fucking tip wet. You know what I mean? Fucking fam. How you guys doing? Are you fucking? Everybody getting laid? You getting fucking balls deep in some fucking pussy? Huh? If you're gay, you get balls deep in some fucking asshole. Do it. Get laid. We could all die tomorrow. What else we got? Is that it? Distro deal. There's something else interesting of Bruin, but you know what? I've learned my lesson over the years. I don't even want to tease the story because it'll probably come to nothing. It'll be a waste of time because 9.5 times out of 10, these things come to naught, as they say. And why bring it up? Because I'll listen to it a year later when I'm out of shit and I'll just listen to some random old episode and I'll hear me talk about it. And then it'll just kick me in the fucking guts and go, oh yeah, remember when I thought that was going to happen and it didn't because it's Los Angeles and God hates me? So I have to say there's some interesting I don't know, whatever. It's weird fella stuff about film distribution and shit. We're supposed to meet with a guy and we'll see what the fuck happens. But probably nothing. I'm not even gonna bring it up. After it happens, then I'll tell you about it. That'll be my new policy. That's what I'll do. I'm just saying it's on my mind because it might. Me and folks are supposed to meet with a fella, and it's just some interesting propositions on the table if they're real, which they probably ain't. Shut up. How long are you going to fucking sit here and spin your wheels and tell people you might have something, but you don't, you fucking idiot? Who wants to hear that? Shut up. Be fucking decisive. Make up your mind. All right, end the show. Okay, I'm ending the show. This is the end of the show. I hope you liked it. At least you didn't have to listen to me drinking coffee and all that kind of shit like I have been in the morning. That's actually why I wanted to go do this fucking mic, hey, dude, because it's a long drive. And I knew I can get this done. And I got to work on my set and rehearse it because I haven't done it in a week. Because I'm doing my old jokes that worked from a week or two ago. Because this fucking new stuff, I'm just,
I wrote another fucking 5 yesterday, and I've yet to try it out. We'll see how that fucking shit goes, huh? So, you know what? Have a good goddamn Halloween, everybody. I'll check your candy. You don't want to get fucking poisoned. And I want to go on the Donald Trump mask. Is it got, you know, is it do? I mean, anyway. Go with assassinated Donald Trump. If I went on a Donald Trump mask and poke a hole in the forehead and have blood come out. If you're like, it's my higher. I'm the best costume ever. I'm assassinated Donald Trump. That would be a treat, not a trick.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, brandy, you're a fine girl,
you're a fine
what
girl.
A good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
Yeah, your eyes could steal a sailor from the sea. Brandy wears a braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved. Came on a summer's day, bringing gifts from far away. But it made it clear he couldn't stay. No harbor was his home. The sailor said, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine
what
girl.
A good wife you would be.
Such a fine
but my
girl.
Life, my love, and my lady is the sea." Down, Brandy walks through a silent town and loves a man who's not around. She still can hear him say, she hears him say, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.